Everybody, and welcome back once again to Goonies World. I am Meanie, also known as Ryan, and am joined, as always, by Lunacorn, also known as Lynn.
Hi, good evening.
As well as Johnny Farrow, also known as Sean.
Hey, hey, hey.
And of course, Goonie himself. It would not be Goonies World without Goonie, also known as Colin.
Hello.
And we are going to be jumping right back into the action here in the continuation. Well, sort of. Well, it will be the continuation of the Spirit series, but not necessarily of. I mean, there was like Bing and Bart before in the different series in this. It's related, but only tangentially. So, we are in Alaska, as you may recall, and you have discovered some sort of strange pyramid apparently crashed into the forest, and it had been on fire, but you put that out, and it contained some strange charred remains that appeared possibly that, in any event, they were tall and had large feet. Whether they were Bigfoot type creatures or not is not entirely clear, because obviously they were all burnt up and not easily identifiable. Certainly any hair or whatever was not there. But upon sort of retrieving these carcasses from the object, you were accosted sort of rudely by what appears to be a Bigfoot type creature who came hollering through the forest, stomping his feet, and then basically rushed at you, and is now standing before you with his arms raised in the air, hollering this inhuman like wail as he looking back and forth between all of you. And I think I'm going to have to ask you to roll initiative.
Okay. All right, so that is our first digit of reflexes plus
D4.
Good. Yep.
I have a 6 altogether.
I also have a 6.
Okay. And what about River?
River is having technical difficulties.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. But you know, that thing sounds pissed off. I haven't heard a scream like that since I stole Phil Spector's stash at Lee Marvin's house back in 67. Woo! Phil has almost as bad a haircut, too.
First digit of reflex plus 4.
Plus D4. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I think I'm having brain difficulties rather than technical difficulties.
Let's see. Your reflexes are. So 7 plus D. So D4 plus 7 is what I'm looking for.
Okay. 11.
All right. So, it looks like River is going to go first. So you've got a large, hairy creature with its arms raised in the air above its head, screaming at you and glancing back and forth quickly, rapidly between all of you as though it's trying to determine who it's going to attack, possibly. So what are you doing?
Okay, so I'm gonna pull out my 357 and I'm going to point it. I'm going to hold it and point it. I say, stop. We come in peace.
Okay. So you're not going to shoot it, at least yet.
Not yet.
Okay. That is fair enough.
I'm kind of afraid to shoot it, to be honest.
You can't kill it. It's just scared.
Well, what if I just, like, kneecap it? Can I kneecap it?
No. It's too precious.
I don't know what you want me to do here, Bart. We're getting ready to get our arms and legs torn apart and probably eaten. So, you know, I kind of want to stop that from happening.
Just wait till my turn for initiative.
Well, your turn will be coming shortly, but unfortunately, this creature had rolled a 10, so he's going to go now. And his eyes kind of drift down upon River and then linger there, because he was kind of darting back and forth between all of you, but then he kind of notices River, and he seems, his eyes, his gaze lingers there a little longer, and his arms, which had been, you know, raised above his head as he was screaming, he stops screaming as well, by the way, and his arms he lowers, and you've got your gun obviously out and pointed at him, but he begins walking in your direction with his arms outstretched, like less like he's going to attack you and more like he might be going to grab you. And I would say, effectively, since you didn't actually take an action, you kind of went on hold. You basically pointed your gun at it and went on hold. So
right.
you could, if you were so inclined, attempt to shoot it at any point as kind of an interrupt. But he has not. He's still, you know, 10 feet away or something. But he's not running at you. Even he's kind of walking slowly, and it's like staring at you, right? And he's like walking with his arms outstretched. And that's what he will be doing while, well, being and Bart both got sixes, so,
Well, Bart,
I defer to Bart.
Bart is gonna,
Actually, what I was gonna do is I'm gonna say, oh, hey, you're the Bigfoot expert, and get behind you.
Well, okay. I was gonna actually stand in front of you guys anyways, like, shielding you guys, even... You know, even though River has her gun out, he's going to be blocking her, and he's going to, like, you know, have his hands outstretched to the sides, kind of shielding them, and he's going to try once again to reason with Bigfoot. You know, he's going to do his grunting language, like, and try to say, like, we come in peace.
Okay. I would say make, what's probably intelligence would be the most relevant.
Okay. Intelligence is not super high. We'll see. No. 91.
Oh. Oh, 91. Yeah, that's not great.
I think it speaks a different dialect than the Pacific Northwest one.
Yeah, he kind of looks kind of down at you as he's walking towards River, and he makes a response that sounds like, but yeah, it doesn't make any sense to you, really. But he points, but it points as it's making this noise. It points at River, and continues walking in her direction. Is Bing going to do anything in particular, or just cower?
Well, I wouldn't call it cowering so much as deferring to the experts, but, you know, he's moving aggressively, right? You think he's going in for a hug, Bart, or you think he's going in for the bear hug to kill?
I think he's attracted to River and wants to take her to be his lover. You should be honored to receive this. This is...
honored?
This is what? Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you.
You sound a little jealous, a little envious there, pal, but you've had your shot, as I recall.
Can you imagine?
Just reminds me of about 7 other Phil Spector stories, but I'm not going to tell them right now. Just don't look in that guy's attic, whatever you do. Anyway, I'm going to see what happens with him.
Well, make a perception roll you're sort of talking and looking back and forth at this creature.
Yeah, my perception's not bad at all. So, I have a 16.
God. Okay, well, as this thing is, and now it's probably, you know, halved the distance. It's probably, you know, 5 feet away, and its arms are really long, so it's getting pretty close to being able to make contact. But you notice, oh, God.
Get the camera! Get the camera! Get the camera! Well, I've got a camera. Okay, yep. Snap, 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 snap. And you know, until the whole roll is gone. In my little 80s camera, my 70s camera.
So, I'm glad that you picked up on what I was putting down without me having to say anything specific or explicit. But I will say that for a very large, you know, over 7 foot tall creature, you know, it's... Well, and as you may or may not be aware, you know, sort of in primates, the size of the creature doesn't necessarily reflect on how well endowed they are. And this particular creature, you know, it's kind of like a thumb.
This is disappointing. It's like a button on a fur coat.
don't shame him. It's not his fault. It's normal to have that size. For this big man to have a smaller, I mean, for a Bigfoot to have a smaller size penis, it's completely adorable.
It's the same thing I said to Joe Namath in the locker room that time.
So, important side note, however, as it's approaching and closing in, and you spot the thumb-like appendage on this creature's groin area. You said you start snapping pictures. Is there a flash?
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing, and I almost thought about narrating one, you know, because it would be funnier, but it's broad daylight, and he's been taking pictures already, so, I mean, I don't know that he would. If it is still daylight, probably not. My instinct at first was, that'd be funny, and then I was like, no, he wouldn't do that. Just kind of in a non-verbal thinking about it earlier. So, probably not. Unless it's night, and then definitely. Or so murky that...
Well, it is not night, it is afternoon at this point. But really, at this point, and this far north, there kind of is no night this time of year anyway.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
A flash wouldn't necessarily make sense, but I could go either way if you accidentally turned it on. I mean, whatever.
Yeah,
but the point
is, I
don't
think I will.
Okay. That works for me. The sound does seem to momentarily distract him, and he kind of stops approaching, but he does not flinch or run away as he may have done had... You know, he'd been blinded by a flash. So he kind of stops and looks confused. And his outstretched arms kind of sink it a little bit. And he just kind of gets confused look on his face as he hears this, you know, snap, 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 snap of this camera taking photographs. And that's basically his turn. So, River, what are you doing?
I'm gonna do what most people do. Not most people. What some people do when they're talking to someone that they know doesn't speak their language. So I'm just going to talk louder because, you know, that's going to sure. That's going to help them understand. We're not trying to hurt you, and I don't lie with furry creatures. Well, maybe sometimes, but yeah, it's how you doing? No attacko. My friend.
No molesto.
No attacko, no molesto. My friend Bart here, he wants to study and learn about you. And she's just going to keep talking louder and louder and, you know, thinking that somehow that's going to make it understand her, even though she's not that dumb, but.
All right. Well, for his turn, he had been temporarily distracted by the shutter sound of the camera. But he now that you've started talking, he looks back at you and begins his arms once again raised, and he almost seems to be encouraged by your words, like he's thinking that he clearly obviously doesn't understand what you're saying, but he's thinking that you're, you know, either he thinks you're inviting him or he
you want it.
Yeah, doesn't understand what's going on.
You're after
but he continues walking towards you, and he's going to attempt to grab you. Let's see. Oh, but so he reaches out in an attempt to grab you, but he rolls very poorly, and he can't get his arms around you. Also, I think Bart is kind of in the way. But it's clear that he wants to grab River, and what he's going to do at that point, you don't know, but he's clearly intent on this plan. That's what he does, Bart and Bing, and or Bing.
Well, I want to say, like,
it's me you want.
I'm still, you know, in front of them. And actually, I think I'm going to grab. I'm not going to, like, try to take her gun, but I'm going to try to, like, lift up her arms to where she's firing, to it's pointed up, you know, towards the air, and try to fire the gun in the air to maybe get him to back off. If she'll even allow that.
Oh. I'll probably have flare guns on the plane, too. I didn't think about that. Have to remember those next time.
So are you going to allow Bart to sort of fire your gun with your hands on it into the air?
Yeah, I will allow that. As long as you're not trying to actually take it from me or anything, then yeah.
And I'm
referring to the expert here.
And I'm going to change the role of filming my camera.
On my turn.
Okay, well, the shot rings out, and it's deafeningly loud and echoes quite a bit. This seems to terrify the beast, and it looks like as soon as he gets a moment, he's going to run off. But he can't until it's his turn. So, River, what are you going to do until then?
I will probably reholster my gun. Whew! That was close. That was good thinking, Bart. I didn't think about trying to scare it off. I'm going to make sure I bring my flare gun next time in case something crazy like that happens again. I thought he was going to carry all me off, have his way with me. That's a little bit freaky, I'm not going to lie.
I was going to get the whole thing on camera, too.
Oh, my God. The National Enquirer would have bought the shit out of those, I can tell you. But anyway, on his turn, this thing, having, you know, recoiled in terror and flinched at this impossibly loud noise, turns around and runs back the way it came. And so it disappears into the woods.
Now I got his back. Camera. And I try to run after a little bit and take pictures, but hopefully we got some pictures.
You scared it off.
Should we follow it?
I don't think we should try to enrage it or anything like that. We're lucky. We survived, a Bigfoot and heat, that is, it could be mating season, so you're lucky. I mean, you're not lucky. I'm unlucky.
Well, as you guys are sitting around talking about this, being kind of followed it briefly and took some photos of it running off. And I don't know if you ran out of film again or not, but just as you're talking about this, you hear kind of a rustling off in the distance. And then above the tree line, you see a metallic pyramid, very much like the one that you're standing near, except not broken and on fire, rise above the tree line and disappear off to the north.
Oh, well, I really pictured him like snapping out the whole roll of film. I was gonna get, because he knew some shots would be blurry. He knew, he was shooting as many as he could to get the one good one. And I think, ironically, like so many other people, it's just, oh man, damn, he filmed left of my camera. I'll come around and be like, I saw the UFO. It just went right off up there. So this is another corroboration of your theory or your observation that, UFO sightings correspond with Bigfoot sightings. Maybe Bigfoot is an alien.
Yeah, it seems like these, at least these Bigfoots, are extraterrestrial. But I don't know if all Bigfoots are. But, yeah, that was...
Well, we got photos. We got good... We should have good photos here. I mean, hopefully the guy at the little photo mat won't mess them up.
I
assume you've got somebody at National Geographic with a dark room,
right,
or whatever.
Right, but, yeah.
Because God knows, and some of our listeners may not be old enough to realize that, there was a time when you didn't just point your phone at something and take a picture and then look at it. You had to take it to the police and have the people do chemicals and shit and make the picture come out.
Yep.
Unless it was a Polaroid.
True.
I don't know when Polaroids were invented.
I'm going to say 60s or 70s.
Might be.
Yeah, I know they were around in the 70s because we had one. So... I have pictures of myself that are Polaroids and my family, so...
Yeah.
Not that I was alive in the 70s or anything.
No, none of us. None of us were. No.
I wasn't, actually. For real.
Actually, Goonie wasn't. Goonie's the baby.
Anyway, so it would seem from sort of circumstantial evidence that this thing flew away in some kind of craft like this one that crashed here, and perhaps they were flying together, and who knows, but it has flown off apparently to the north.
Well, we got a story here. I say we hop, skip, and jump. Let's fly off to the north, see what's what. Although, you know, I bet you those things, they fly at, like, you know, really, really fast speeds. I don't know if a little plane could keep up with them. No offense, badass bush bitch.
Well, and I
none taken.
I should have mentioned. I mean, so it, like, kind of hovered and up above the trees where you could see it. And when it headed off to the north, I mean, it was like gone. I mean, it was out of your sight before it. I mean, there was no way. The laws of physics can't explain how it could have possibly accelerated. How many G's that would have been to go from zero to disappearing off in the distance that fast? I mean, that thing is just as ridiculous.
Yeah, the laws of physics can't explain why my buddy Keith Moon's still kicking. That guy'll go forever, you watch.
Well, it looks like we aren't gonna be able to follow it. Those hypersonic speeds probably got a some type of bubble around it that it stops the G forces.
But hey, look, we had a first-hand encounter with a Bigfoot again.
Yeah,
it's our second one. Yeah, and it's your first. It's your first. Your Bigfoot cherry's broken, if you'll excuse the expression.
It almost got literally broken, but I should say that this one does not. It physically resembles the last one, kind of, but it also seems quite different, and it. The smell is quite different. There is a distinct musky, and I should have probably mentioned this earlier, aroma that is not entirely dissimilar to the last encounter, but is also not identical.
Yep. You maybe got your visiting Bigfoots, you know, and there's some Bigfoots they either left here or they're cultivating. Maybe they're turning people into Bigfoots with experiments.
Those are all
maybe
valid.
They're Bigfoot human hybrids that they get from raping ladies out in the woods.
Oh
yeah, that could be.
Ooh. Huh. Reminds me of the time I went to summer camp on Robert Wagner's estate, but that's another story.
You gotta have some lawsuits if you say that in public.
In a fictional universe and an alternate reality, of course.
Well, and apparently in this alternate reality, Keith Moon survived into the 80s?
Like, I forgot we were in the 80s. I thought we were still in the 70s.
Well,
I didn't
he said
we were in the 80s.
Late 70s, maybe.
Late
70s,
early 80s, yeah.
Okay,
so
well,
I guess he could be.
There's a little wiggle room there, but no, I'll withdraw the Keith Moon and give you who died in the
John Belushi. Well, I think I already made a joke about him not living forever.
But yeah, well, in this universe, Keith Moon kicked on a few years longer then. But yeah.
So now the mound which you had originally been headed for when you kind of got sidetracked by this smoke is basically to the north as well, so that could be where this thing flew off to, or it could be, or could not be, who knows, but it's about as good a lead as any.
Yeah, and we were gonna like try to get one of these corpses on to the plane.
That's what we were doing. So let's pick up this ashy alien. Remember, you're sitting in the back with him. I still got shotgun.
That's fine. Let's all drag him or her to the plane.
We'll pick him up. We made a little stretcher out of my kimono, so.
Yeah.
So let's try not to break him.
All right. So you, and it's it's quite a hike back to the plane, which you have tied off. Had, you know, kind of landed on this large lake, kind of halfway to your destination, which I believe was Anaktuvuk Pass. You haul this thing all the way back to the plane, and just sit it in one of the back seats, I guess. Strap it in with the seatbelt.
Yeah.
All right. It's a little bit too tall, really, but I mean, it's not going to complain. So. You get it strapped in and secured, and I assume all get boarded on yourselves and get back in the air, heading towards this little town, this little airport in Anaktuvuk, I assume. There's really nowhere else to go.
And that's where the mound was?
Well, you certainly... Yeah, well,
yeah,
about...
Yeah, that's where the airport is, that... It's still like a day's hike away from the airport, but that's the closest place that's got an airport to where we were going.
Yeah.
Where the mound is.
Closest place we can land. There's probably no lake or water up by the mountain.
Yeah, it's kind of in a very... I mean, theoretically, you could... I mean, it's kind of in a river valley surrounded by mountains. There might be a place to land. You'd have to kind of overfly it and scout it out and find a place, but it's just so dangerous. An airport is vastly safer.
Yeah, I'm gonna trust the pilot on that one.
Yeah, well,
that's right. I think it would be best if we Lena, as long as you boys don't mind a little walking.
You're
gonna have like a 15-mile hike, so
I'm ready.
Walking for the last 2 hours. I'm ready. I told you I'm gonna be going for at least another 34 or 35 hours.
Excuse me. Okay, well, it takes several more hours to get there. Of course, the sun is by this point getting as low as it's going to get on the horizon. It's kind of getting into evening. But of course, it doesn't really ever set this time of year, especially here. Pretty soon you spot the airport and the small town. It's like a few blocks with, like, you know, what are those, like, almost like prefab steel buildings and some houses for a few blocks, and it's basically a few blocks here, a kind of a main strip, a few blocks here, and then an airport, and that's about it. I mean, this couldn't possibly be home to more than a few hundred people. They only have an airport. I primarily have an airport just because that's the only way to get here. So you were able to land without incident in the kind of twilightish faux sunset without incident. I don't know if you want to just start walking through the night. I mean, you're probably fairly tired. You've had kind of a long day of travel and adventure already. I don't know that Bing is particularly tired, given that whatever drugs he's been up to, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think I could sleep a week after what we just encountered. You know, I got nerves and everything. But it has been a long day. And I don't know if River's tired or not.
I'm a little tuckered out.
Well, maybe there's a hostel we could stay in or something.
Yeah, there's a bed and breakfast. and that's kind of your option.
Well, do you guys want to sleep tonight? I mean, I know Big's not sleeping. I'm probably not sleeping. But if River needs her sleep, then, maybe we should spend the night here and then head out tomorrow morning. Because it's going to be a long hike, so we'll probably need to eat breakfast and everything and head out.
Well, let's go to the bed and breakfast then. I'll put my foot in a foot bath, for a while, get them all ready for tomorrow. If you guys need it. Plus, I think you need some sleep anyway, even though you don't feel... you'll fall asleep once you lay down, trust me.
Yeah, maybe if I eat some of those pancakes or the syrup, I don't know. It's just very calming. Something about those pancakes I had.
Tell you what, let's go to the bed and breakfast. I'll make us all a nice cup of tea. And we'll all sleep deep, even me.
Well, I think I see where you're going with that. Well, it's just a few blocks walk to this low one-story building. And they have it's a four-bedroom bed and breakfast, and there's nobody occupying any of the rooms here. So, the owner is happy to rent you three of the four rooms, and it's called a bed and breakfast, but they don't actually. I mean, you have use of the kitchen, but they're not going to cook you any meals or anything. I mean, you can cook your own stuff. If you've brought whatever, or you go buy some groceries or whatever, but yeah, it's not like they're not providing you actual breakfast or kitchen or anything else. Yeah.
We got kitchen privileges. It's just the way it works at the Stones Mansion.
Yeah. So yeah, you guys get keys to your rooms, that's. I don't know. What are you gonna? Are you gonna make some dinner? What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna make a heavy, heavy downer tea, like a fuck ton of barbiturates and stuff in it, but most of it for myself. A tiny, tiny bit I'm gonna put in Bart's tea, and I'm not gonna mess with River's tea.
All right. I assume you'll all enjoy your tea and.
Yep. Nice hot tea. It's very, very soothing.
And makes you very sleepy. And you all wake up the next morning feeling quite refreshed and ready to. Continue your adventure. I should mention that you did see a little, or you did pass on your short walk, a small business that had like kind of a handwritten sign, like shoved into the ground that next to some. ATVs and snow machines that said rentals. So you possibly could rent an ATV or something, or a couple of them, since there are three of you. Or you could just choose to hike.
Well, you can always walk, but come on, three of us on those ATVs? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like fun.
Born to be wild, man.
Well, I don't know. I'm a little afraid to drive one of these.
Well, I already drove all the way from California to Colorado, you know, with you on the back of a Harley, so...
Yeah, maybe I could just ride on the back of yours.
Why don't you ride on the back of hers? Because, you know, she's smaller and you guys share the space better.
Oh.
I can let you ride, bitch, with me if you want.
But I have to touch, I have to hold on to you. I don't know.
As long as you don't have no Roman hands and Russian fingers, then I think we should be 5x5.
Well, I just, you know, that's like third base or something, I think.
Yeah, I think you need to realize, Bart, you know, given your life situation, this is probably the closest you will ever be to a woman physically, you know, in your life. So I'd enjoy the ride.
Okay.
Until you meet that special Bigfoot lady I know you're looking for.
Can you imagine? Okay. I'll be a gentleman, and I will sit at the back here, and I won't try anything.
All right, then. I'm going to make sure that I grab a couple things, especially since we're taking ATVs. Make sure this time that we definitely have a flare gun, and I've got a list of stuff that I'm assuming is always with me, especially if I'm hiking. But flare gun is not on that list, so I would like to put it on that list. And y'all think we need fire extinguisher too?
You can always use a good fire extinguisher.
That's true.
Yeah, right. And these things have, they're very much you know, designed and equipped to be out in the bush. I mean, they've got like storage everywhere that you can, you know, you can put stuff. So there's plenty of room for whatever you want to pack up, fire extinguishers, flare guns, etc. That's all totally cool.
Might want to take a little extra canister of fuel too. Reach for us just in case. You never know.
Oh, if you think that's wise, then yeah, we should probably be as prepared as we can. We never.
You two boys know. Get into some strange stuff. So even though it's only 15 miles, who knows where we could end up?
Yeah. Okay.
So after either paying in cash for these, or you know, sort of billing it to the National Geographic, I'm not sure what.
I think the expedition's got a budget, and as long as we're still below budget, we're probably okay.
Well, you probably have a per diem and et cetera, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have no problem negotiating. You get a couple ATVs and get them stocked up with all your stuff and head out of the town towards the north. And it's still, it's rugged and terrain and forested and not, you can't exactly, you know, go full speed, but it's a hell of a lot faster than walking, which would have taken, you know, a full day probably, if not, you know, have even more than that, like having to stop and camp, which I don't know that you're necessarily prepared for. But after, you know, it takes a few hours of fairly hard terrain, and of course, you are getting into the mountains, or, you know, from the town, you could see pretty close, you know, the looming mountains, and of course now you are among them, kind of down in a little forested valley, and it after a while, it kind of spreads out into a almost like an alluvial plain. There's all sorts of like little bodies of water and stuff that had at some point probably been part of a river system, Oxbow Lakes, etc.
Oh, hey, Kitty. Coming back.
It should be just probably, I don't know, you feel like you're getting close. It's pretty thickly forested. Who's in the lead? Is being tearing ahead recklessly, fueled by drugs, or is he letting River take the lead?
I think I'm going to let River take the lead on this one. You know, I might meander a little bit.
I think that would be best.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say make a perception roll to see if you can find this thing in the forest.
Made it 61.
Yeah, up ahead there seems to be, and you can almost see some kind of artificial looking, almost like it's a camouflage, but not a camouflage colored anyway, sort of tarp or something has been put up and is kind of sitting above the trees just a little bit, almost in like kind of a dome, and you can see that from here, and you can kind of make out in the distance underneath it what would be kind of just a dark area. So there's clearly something up ahead. It's not, you have to get a little bit closer to kind of see what it is, but you're pretty sure, at least at this point, you know, you know where exactly to go. Would you continue, you think, on the ATVs at this point, or would you go on foot?
I was thinking we should probably stop and park them a little ways away.
They are kind of loud.
Scare off any Bigfoots or other creatures that we might see. We better go on foot.
Okay. So you get off the quads and turn off the engines and gather whatever supplies that you think you might need from the storage areas of the bikes and begin walking into this pretty thickly forested area. It's got to be less than a mile away at this point. And it's early afternoon, just a little bit after lunch. I don't know if you have like snacks or whatever you may have been munching on as you were riding or possibly as you're walking in. But it's early afternoon, and the sun is bright in the sky. And as you get just out of sight of where you left your bikes, and you begin to see this dark sort of large dark shape looming ahead in the forest, it suddenly just goes dark. Like the sun just instantly went down. It gets darker than it would get at night in winter, almost. I mean, it's like almost inexplicable. Like you look up, you can't see the sun. It's light enough that you can see your hand in front of your face, but that's about it.
I'll tell y'all, boys, this ain't natural darkness. It ain't like this up here. Mm-mm.
This is adorable at all.
No, it's not adorable at all.
Normal, I said.
Oh.
You're on drugs.
Sorry, I was thinking about Shirley Jones.
And suddenly, just after it becomes dark and you've had this little bit of chat between you, everybody make a strength test.
I'm strong.
21, which succeeds.
Failed.
Oh, I made it by 1. I have 45 strength. I rolled a 44.
Hey, that's good enough, but unfortunately, River did not make it, and River begins... You begin... not only is it dark, but now you begin hearing voices that aren't there of relatives and friends and people you know that aren't here, and they're telling you you should leave. You shouldn't be here. You need to leave.
She's the only one that hears that?
Yeah.
People always hear that. There's stuff. It's telling us to leave.
Oops.
I'm kind of freaked out right now.
No, don't be freaked out.
You're on drugs, too.
I ain't doing no drugs and flying. What are you, crazy boy?
Now listen. There's obviously something strange. There's some kind of bad voodoo here, okay? This is some wicked juju. And me, I left my mojo hand back at the bed and breakfast. Wouldn't you know it? So listen, you're obviously under the effects. You're under the effects of some kind of... Here, I got just the thing. I'm going to get out my rag and my bottle of ether and put a little ether on the rag, and I'm going to hold it up to you and go, shh, 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 shh. It'll either help or make it 10 times worse. I don't know. I'm going to take the edge off. Take the edge off. There you go. Take the edge off.
Well, while Bing is administering or attempting to administer ether to River, and I would... For future reference, I'm just curious, does River go along with this or not?
I think basically, yeah, because she's really just, she's not paying much attention to Bing. She's just like, kind of like, what, she's trying to figure out, I know that voice, that sound like my granddaddy, And then I heard my friend, and so, yeah, I think she's just kind of disoriented to the point where she's not afraid of Bing. She doesn't, like, mistrust him or anything, so she's probably just going to kind of go right along with it and whatever he's doing. She's just trying to figure out these voices.
Okay. And so while she's kind of... You know, Bing is administering this to her and paying attention to doing that, and she's kind of just looking all around, wondering where the hell these voices are coming from and trying to figure out who they are, you know, where they're coming from and whatever. Bart, what are you doing?
I think he's really just intrigued at this area and is wondering why it got dark, and he's kind of slowly going to keep walking, like almost transfixed, trying to go closer, trying to find out what's going on.
I'll follow him too, like holding on to her, like with my arm around her, like walking forward, quietly guiding her, hoping she just shuffles along.
Well, I'm imagining that Bart has gotten out a little bit ahead. I mean, you're kind of trying to follow along, but Bart's kind of at least a couple steps on you, because you're also trying to like get her ether and do all this other stuff. And Bart, you see as you are kind of, I'm just imagining like a scene in a movie where he's just kind of transfixed and like, what's going on? He's just kind of walking forwards. And you see approaching from the direction of the object that you are walking towards three figures that are even taller than the Bigfoot creatures, probably 10 feet tall. And at first, they're just kind of shadowy, wispy forms. But as they approach out of the trees, they look vaguely human. Very, very tall, however, with very indistinct faces. In fact, they kind of look like... they almost look like they have like VHS tape interference, mm-hmm. like static, like constantly over their faces and bodies. And you can't really make out distinct features of their faces, and their arms are very, very long, like all the way down, like past their knees almost. Where you would assume their knees would be, and their legs are also very long. They almost look like Endermen from Minecraft. In terms of proportions or Slender Man or whatever. But as they get close, as they approach you, they, like I said, they look human-ish in body shape in terms of like arms and legs and stuff, just wildly out of proportion to what you would expect, and also obviously very tall. But they all three have these, it's hard to call them plaid shirts because that's not what they are, but their torsos are covered in this pattern that looks plaid-like, red and with stripes and whatever. It doesn't look like a shirt, but it's certainly recognizable as plaid, even through the weird static and interference and stuff. And they're just kind of wavy, and they just step out in front of you and just kind of stop, all three of them just standing there. They don't say anything.
You guys see but they, this?
I'm seeing something. I mean, there's some folks up there. I think we're having a bona fide supernatural experience right here now.
Yeah.
Didn't I meet you guys at a David Bowie concert once? No, nothing. I don't think it's them. Never mind. You're right. It's a bona fide supernatural. Hey, wait.
I get my camera out. Snap.
No sudden movements.
Well, it is very, very dark now.
I don't have a flash. I don't care. I'm going to have to do it. We're going to risk it. We're going to risk a flash. They probably wouldn't even show up on our... And it's all, like, visible. It's going to be... I think they're camera-proof anyway. It has this weird feeling. You never know. We'll think of weird interference and static. They're playing tricks with light. But we got to get a picture of this right now.
So, yeah, I'm going to flash.
All right, well, and this all happens very fast, obviously, because you're snapping pictures like snap. But as soon as the flash, you know, you take the flash photograph, these things all just disappear. And then you take another one, and of course, your eyes are still recovering from the flash, so you don't even... But it's very clear that when the flash is activated several times in a row, that they are not visible in the flash, the light from the flash at all. And after you've taken your pictures and stopped, after you've stopped taking pictures, it's going to take a few seconds. I mean, all you can see is just blue, right, as your pupils have to get back to a size where they can actually see anything. But it was apparent, like I said, that when the flash went off, these things were not visible any longer.
But
as your eyes recover, they are still there.
Okay.
Well,
like I said, they're playing tricks with light.
Yeah, these might be like interdimensional aliens or something. They're phased into our reality, but they're not all the way here. There's some, you know, there's some interference.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not all the way here either. So maybe let's slowly approach them.
Okay.
We'll offer them some ether in a gesture of interdimensional enmity.
Then do you begin to approach closer?
Yeah, but like deferentially, you know. And it's quite the same way you gotta walk up to Marlon Brando, okay? Just nice and easy, big fella.
you begin to sort of tentatively walking towards these things. And as soon as you do, you all, I would say hear, but that's not what it is. You have transmitted into your brains the words, "Come no further."
They're speaking to us telepathically.
I told you they were talking, except they sounded like my relatives before, and my friends and stuff.
But it sounded like that to me. It could.
Well, it didn't that time either, but.
Okay, we're not going any further.
Well, he'll hold his hands up and pause.
All right, and then they say, or then you have transmitted into your brains the message, "We believe this language should be comprehensible to you. Do you understand?"
I comprehend.
Yep.
Yep. I'm just glad you're not speaking his made-up Bigfoot language.
It's not made up, you idiot.
Where did you learn this language?
Oh, I learned it from a Bigfoot that... Well, no, I learned it from, originally from a Tolowa shaman in, Jupiter Springs, California. He knew the language. He taught it to me.
Oh, yes. Those must be the native creatures you're speaking of. They're not the same ones that we have here.
Oh, I thought as much. You're a different group, but you don't look like Bigfoot to me.
Oh, no. Oh, no, not at all. We are not the creature you describe.
Well, what do you want from us?
Our primary interest is that you leave.
But we came all this way to investigate the strange goings on in this area. And we got a funding from National Geographic, and we want to know the truth. We want to know about the universe and all the secrets, and I want to know more about Bigfoot.
Plus, unless you can demonstrate that this is legally your private property as recorded in deeds in Fairbanks or Juneau or whatever the capital of this great state of Alaska happens to be, then this is a free country and this is public land, and we have every right to be here. So there's no reason to be nasty. I mean, come on, guys, let's party. Let's get to know each other. Loosen up. Let down your plaid, man.
You wish to know things.
Yes.
We do not think you're ready to know these things.
But I've been ready since I was a child. I've been reading books and seeking the truth. And I have led a life of trauma from bullying and I think I should. I'm worthy to know the truth.
If it makes you feel any better, he probably won't do much with it. You know, it's not like we're gonna go write a best-selling book or anything. Don't worry about that.
I will pass the trial. Just tell me what it is.
And I'll agree with you all that perhaps humanity in general, no, is not ready. I mean, just look at it. Just look at it. I'll be the first one to agree. But this guy, and he goes and puts his arm around Bart, and I kiss him on the cheek. This guy's something special. All right? He's something special. He's got a pure heart.
And I'll pound him on the chest.
So if you could trust any human being, it's this man here, Bart Garfinkel, cryptozoologist.
Allow us to consult our superiors.
Yeah, talk amongst yourselves. Talk amongst yourselves.
And I think with that, we'll see what they come back with in the next episode. So it will be longer than three, clearly.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Hey, everybody. If you like our podcast, don't forget to leave us a good rating and or review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Spotify, or wherever you're able. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Goonies_World. And check out our website at GooniesWorldPodcast.com. Email us at GooniesWorldPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.